are you going to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Welcome you into the a really weird kind of crazy kind of strange edition of Meet Me at Mutual, because man, so much has happened in the last week. It's the first one of the second half, and it's the first one of the post Mike Matheny era, which I don't think any of us really expected to be saying that this time of year. I'm your host, Daniel Shopto, C70 is about at C70. With me is Alan Medlock of Redbird Daily, or Redbird, whichever you want to look at. I guess wherever Alan's going to put stuff up, he'll put it up both for right now. And A Medlock 1 on Twitter. And it feels like, you know, we're doing this on Saturday. You know, basically this time last week, you know, this is like 10, we're starting recording this about 10:30. This time last week is when this news comes out that Mike Matheny had been let go. The Cardinals put that out on their Twitter feed, and everybody kind of takes about three double takes and says, is that what I think it is? You know, Alan, you know, I think we were all up and we were all talking about it at that time, but what was your initial reaction when that came out?
I was surprised. You could kind of tell that the train had completely come off the tracks. You know, it was even before it was announced, my phone was just blowing up with text messages going, hey, how much longer is this going to last? You know, one of those things. And then if you remember, we had a message thread going the whole time. And, it surprised me to hear their reasoning behind it as far as timing wise. It made a lot of sense. You know what I mean? Yeah. Kind of looking out for everybody, letting them get in there. Then, you know, if you get to the break, everybody's traveling in different directions. You know, one of those things. It's, made a lot of sense. It's one of those that's always, I was surprised because they did it mid-season, but I thought it needed to be done because they were lost, and I felt like, the message had just gone silent to a lot of guys. I mean, they just looked flat in the two games and against the Reds, and it just looked really bad. You know, if they ever took the lead and lost the lead, they were done. Mm-hmm. All signs pointed to it happening. It's still hard to believe that the Cardinals did it midseason.
Yeah, it was very interesting to read some of the postmortems, if you will, from people like Derek Gould and people from Bernie and other places, but it really kind of sounds like, you know, we talked so much about that game at Milwaukee 2-3 weeks ago now, that game that was just so terrible that it looked like they had no idea how to play any kind of baseball, much less Cardinal baseball. And Matheny just didn't seem to have a much reaction. I know they had a team meeting and such from there, but it really seemed like that was the game that kind of shifted their mindset to say, this is going to have to happen pretty soon. And they, you know, kind of did their due diligence and kind of, you know, but that kind of where the mindset shifted. And once it shifts, then it becomes a lot easier to make that kind of decision. Mm-hmm. And you're right. They had those couple games against the Reds, which, I mean, the games against the Reds really don't matter because they really kind of decided already, I think, anyway, if this was happening.
Sure.
Especially that second game. I mean, that, you know, they'd already said Friday, you know, they said Friday night that they'd decided before the game on Saturday. But they had to still line pieces up and get everything organized out. I like the fact that they did. And you know, we said this earlier in the year. We said that if Mike Shildt was going to have a real case for taking the job in 2019, they needed to fire Matheny mid-season and let him have the interim tag, because if you don't let him manage this year and you tell people in the offseason, yeah, we fired Matheny, but we're hiring this guy that's, you know, been Matheny's bench coach, has been in the organization, that doesn't go over as well. This way, at least you give a chance to Mike Shildt to make his own name, if you will. And so I don't think it was any big surprise there. But then, you know, people automatically start putting up names to go with it. And I don't know. You like me, though. I feel like it's 60, 75% chance that Mike Schilt's the manager next year, too.
Sure, and I think you put it right that he was groomed to do this, and that's you know, paid his dues, and he's a huge he's backed by Mazzella, you know, who actually hired him in the first place in the organization. I heard an interesting kind of comparison to the deal, to where after they fired Jocketty after 07, that Mazzella just went out and did the job. That it was, he just wasn't worried about it, probably did his interviewing and whatnot, and did the job to where he didn't, it was almost like the decision had been made and he was taking it and running with it while they were interviewing other candidates. And I think that's what they kind of intend to do with Schilt, which I'm glad. I'm glad he got the shot. That's who I wanted to do it. We had talked last year if there was any possibility what would happen. After he had gone to, you know, the situation where he was a third base coach, and we knew that no one would be fired during the season anyway, but we had talked about it if things were to happen. He seemed to be the most logical guy. So I'm glad, and I hope it all works out, and I do hope that a lot of this talk just becomes, you know, not needed before it's all said and done, man. You know, and after five games, you can't complain too much.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, so far, the transition has gone well, and we'll talk a little bit about that coming up. But I guess we should probably, you know, just final thoughts on the Matheny era. It's, you know, you hear the argument. I've heard it some, probably from Bernie, and I think it holds some water. Is that, you know, Matheny, not only did he inherit a good team, which he did, although he didn't have Pujols, all them, he still had a good team, and they got some good young talent. But it was a veteran, guys that had been through the wars with Tony La Russa, they knew how to act, they knew how to do it, and they could paper over any of Matheny's interactions with the players that didn't work. You know what I'm saying? There was that clubhouse culture that was already strong. But if those guys tended to retire or traded or whatever, and new guys came up, that culture just kind of crumbled somewhat. And then you get into the Norris Hicks stuff, you get into the Dexter Fowler stuff, you get into how you know, they've dealt with Long over the past few years, and you just have this stuff that continues to not only just get out, then you know that there's probably other stories that aren't. It just kind of fell apart there, and Matheny wasn't strong enough managerially or as a leader or whatever to really put it back together.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I completely agree with all that. I want to put the words to it. It's he almost couldn't get out of his own way, you know, and I know that it was, he was a player's manager. That's what we're sold on, a leader, all kinds of stuff, but you could just see he never lightened up.
Yeah.
You know, it was always just a tense situation with him. And I felt like guys probably felt that pretty heavy in the clubhouse. And it's, you never realize how bad it is until like Sunday, the post game press conference, I thought it spoke volumes. Mm. About how it went. And of course, there's always the caveat of, hey, that's his first one, you know, after his 300th, you know, it's probably not going to look that good. But man, you could tell the difference. A, he explained moves. He talked through moves. He didn't talk down. I don't want to say that, but I can't think of a better phrase.
Yeah.
That it seemed like happened with Matheny, to where it was just an awkward situation the whole time. I thought Saturday's press conference, where Gould kind of held his feet to the fire, was one of the few times you could see that he would crack, because he just didn't have answers to anything. I mean, you had written about that two or three times, about how this miracle run, explain what's going to happen on this. You know what I mean? Explain why you're optimistic about it. Where Schilt, it was just game to game. You know, this is what we have, and I thought that it was completely different. I mean, on our group chat, I said the same thing. I go, this is the best post-game presser we've seen in 2 years. And it was just because it didn't seem so stoic, really.
Mm.
You know, so I don't know. I think that a lot of signs pointed to this happening, and, you know, it's probably something that we don't even know. and they never know clubhouse wise, but you know, guys have seemed to play loose after he's been gone. I mean, I know that's probably true, but it seems like the pressure valve's been released.
It does feel like that. And you're right. I mean, just having the fact that Mike Shildt talks in different tone of voice, you know, from one sentence to the next. He has inflection in his tone is a breath of fresh air, because that's, Matheny never seemed to have any kind of animated, you know, he never, stoic was exactly the word to do it. He just never seemed to, and partly because he was never really comfortable with the press. I think that's some of it. But, you know, after 7 years or almost 6.5 years,
yeah,
you should have at least be able to, you know, crack a smile every once in a while. And you're right. It was a lot. Matheny's was a lot of cliche, a lot of platitudes, a lot of, we're going to be better. Well, that's great. How? You know, why? You know, why was this wrong? It was, you know, and I think, you know, some of that's just managers. Because Shields had a little bit of that as well. But like you said, he's more likely to, you know, acknowledge when something's not right. He seems to be a little bit more able to acknowledge that, you know, why he did what he did. And I think that he, and there's nothing else, you know, I'm sure, I think you have listen to Danny Mac's podcast with him, and other places that he's been on. He's a storyteller to some degree too. I mean, he knows how to tell the story.
The scoops last week was actually on Sunday. You know, when he did the podcast with Danny Mac. That was really good.
Yeah,
that was one of the better ones, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a great story, and he's been in baseball, and. You know, there is something to be said for playing the game. There's no doubt, get me wrong. And obviously he's been in the game. It's not that he never played it in the minor leagues or anything like that, but he's been in it. He knows this game. He knows how to interact with players. And, you know, some of the comments from people like Colton Wong, who have been with Shildt, you know, had him in the minor leagues and stuff like that. All the people that were talking, you know, of course they're going to talk well about him, but really seemed like they were excited about this opportunity for him, and I think that tells you what kind of person he is and what kind of impact he's made on these people. But you know, and when you can get a guy that's very much that George Kissel disciple, which we've, you know, it's legendary now that he's got Kissel's, you know, copy of Kissel's book, and you know, he really kind of goes back with that and all that. I mean, this is a guy that has gone through it, and there's a difference. I mean, you know, for all of Matheny's supposed good points, high points, you know, he never had to be in those situations. He never had to, you know, before he took the job, figure out, you know, if he should pull a pitcher here, or should he pinch hit here, or how do you, you know, all this. You know, and Shildt's done that. He's gone through the books. He's managed for years in the minor leagues. I think this is a very good move for the Cardinals. And like you said, right now, so far, I think we've seen some things that are still the same, but I think a lot of people expect the Cardinals to turn on a dime here, and they're not gonna. I mean, they're still the same players, and, you know, you can only make the decisions that you can make. But I think we've seen, like you said, a looser team, and, you know, we've seen Shildt make some better decisions. I mean, there's going to be stuff we don't agree with, you know, like bringing in Holland today, but, you know, sometimes you get on the flip side of that, it's who else are you going to bring in?
Sure.
And I think that he would explain that. He's not going to just...
And I think he did. I mean, I'm reading on Twitter right now that I think that he did break down why he did the things that he did. And they said he sat for 10 minutes explaining each move.
Yeah. And I think that's good. I mean, you know, I know a lot of people are still complaining about Dexter Fowler playing, but he said, hey, he's going to give him that vote of confidence. And I think right now, Shildt is like, this is the guy, these are the guys I want to see, and I want to see them on a run. You know, I want to see them for 10 or 15 days. And, you know, unfortunately, he's coming into a situation where you have to have some of that urgency, but he's also coming into a situation where, you know, odds are not really good on their point anyway, so you might as well leave those guys out there, let them know they're going to play, and see if something will spark. And then after a while. If it doesn't, then you can say, hey, we're gonna switch to Bader on a regular basis, or we're gonna switch to whatever. Now, the trading deadline comes into some of that too, but, I mean, do you think that that's fair, or is it kind of, we're giving him a bit of a pass on, especially like Fowler, where we were jumping all over Matheny for it?
I'm in the camp that completely thought about let's let this guy, let's take this as a reset, as a fresh start. Let's go. Let's see how much difference it makes. And I'm speaking as a shield here to, I think that this is our best lineup on the field for right now. And it may not be by, you know, next week.
Right.
You know, you never know. But I do kind of think, and it is kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth, but I am glad that they're giving him a run. You know what I mean? And being Fowler. And I like that he's playing the defensive, alignments. So whether I probably would be griping about Matheny, you know, doing the same thing. But I don't know. It kind of points to Matheny more of a problem than we see that. Well, maybe that is what we all assumed. So I don't know. I like the lineups that he's been throwing out right now.
Yeah, and I think, again, new guy, you can give him a benefit of the doubt because you don't have all that baggage. I mean, if Matheny had done this in his first 2 years, and we're kind of like, okay, maybe he's got a reason. And like I said, Shields breaking it down. It's not just we got to get him right. It's like, hey, I'm going to show some confidence in Dexter and see if we can't get him going. And some of that's it's kind of the same thing, but it also is the fact that, look, Dexter Fowler has a better relationship with Mike Shields than he did with Mike Matheny.
Sure.
I mean, he has to. Dexter Fowler has a better relationship with the bench somewhere. I mean, just actual on a one-on-one than he does on Mike Matheny, because from all intents and purposes, it sounded like they had no relationship at all. I think that there is something to that of let's let him play for a while. Let's let him try to get into that groove now that he's in a better mindset. And, you know, he got the double yesterday against the lefty. He's still struggling some at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the Cubs abused him today or some in the series. They've go to first to third and things like that all the time. And I think that's partly
a fantastic base running team anyway. Yeah. And that was just the easy pickings for them.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of teams would, but you're right. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So I like what we've seen so far out of this team.
Agreed.
I feel like the team is not nearly as flat as it was. I mean, even today, that two hit game.
Oh, sure.
They felt like they were in it until the bullpen came in. So
yeah.
And he felt, you know, they like I was saying before the show started, you know, the first two games of the series they hit .402. They're hitting .315 or so in the series right now, even with that, you know, miserable game this today. The offense seems to be getting there. And the pitching staff, the starters are okay. It kind of feels like now, and maybe we'll just transition now to this point. It's trying to figure out if there is a bullpen arm out there that anybody can trust. I mean, but Norris, but he's only going to pitch in the ninth pretty much. And, you know, even Jordan Hicks, I know Joe Schwartz wrote about him that I haven't read his article yet. I haven't got around to it, but I know he was writing about some sort of mechanical thing. But Jordan Hicks has struggled over the last, you know, few outings.
Sure.
What do you do? I mean, really, what do you do with this?
Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, I understand that there's just things that they're going to have to, there's lumps they're going to have to take because this is the roster that's put together and no one expected this to happen, but they can't get anybody out. I mean, it's really tough. And it was funny because I thought Gant was really good tonight, even without having his best stuff, because he had a lot of batted ball luck. He had a lot of hard hit balls right at people. But, you know, limited the damage, didn't get into any trouble. And it really stinks to kind of have to turn that over. But who else do you go to with Holland there? I mean, your hands are tied. I mean, I guess you could go Brevia, but I think that was a plan for later in the game too. And I think that there was a thought of if there is any damage, at least we can get back into it, and it's the sixth inning.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. And I'm curious to see where this one ends up, because it seems to me like there's arms they have available. I know they want Gomber to start, and I know that's why he went back down. I'm going to have a hard time it's funny. I don't know. A trade would probably be the only reason I would think that he's not back up here in the bullpen soon, because they're hemorrhaging. They don't have anybody from the left side that can get anybody out. Mm-hmm. There was a part in the fifth today, I really thought was a situation to where they probably could have, it may have even been in the sixth with Holland, where I thought that, they needed a lefty to get Hayward out. And they just didn't have it. And that's pretty tough right now, considering there's a guy that's done the job well that's in Memphis right now that's getting stretched out. So I know there must be a means to the end, and they know what that is, but it's tough to see right now for me.
Well, I mean, you know, they're going to need a sixth starter on Monday, which I don't think they've announced yet that I missed, and that's the...
I think that it'll probably announce Gomber probably right tomorrow, because depending on how the weather moves through, I know that's what they were waiting on anyway.
Yeah. Just make sure that they would need them again tomorrow, right? Because for a while there, it looked like they might have to have a rain out somewhere along the way.
Mm-hmm.
I figure Gomber's coming up. And then, you know, Carlos Martinez goes on the DL today. So you're going to need that fifth starter anyway. I mean, is it Gomber? Do you think Gomber stays there? Or do they wind up going, you know, I guess it'd have to be Dakota Hudson now, wouldn't it, if they wanted to do somebody? It may be, you know, Daniel Ponce de Leon still feels like he needs another shot too, though.
Sure. Sure. And it sounds like all three of the names you mentioned deserve a shot at this point, and the guys in the bullpen aren't doing what... they're not effective enough to seem to hold the jobs. I mean, it's the Holland deal is probably a more contract situation at this point. And that's one of those to where you may have passed that threshold of where you're going to have to just eat money anyway. And I was really hoping he'd bounce back, because I thought he was going to be a big part of the bullpen. But the bullpen as it stands right now, if they fully believe they're going to get back into this, it's going to have to change.
Yeah. And you're right. I felt like Holland had bounced back. And, you know, again, to be fair, Holland did get the ground ball tonight.
Sure, sure.
DeYoung should have at least gotten one and probably could have turned a double play, and he botched it. But you also got to get out of that. You can't walk the base, you know, can't walk four pitches, you know, and force in a run.
100%. That's how I felt about it. I was like, you know, I was mad for the DeYoung error. I mean, I'm sure most were. But the walks,
yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the thing. I was just like, got to kill you.
Yeah. I mean, you look at tonight, 7 walks, 3 come out of Gant, but then 2 from Holland and 1 from Hicks, 1 from – I think Hicks is the intentional walk to Rizzo. I think somebody's – it might have been. Or maybe it was Tui's it was. There wasn't – no. There was an intentional pass. Maybe I'm thinking of the game. Maybe I'm thinking of this early
the day game.
The day game, so.
Yeah, because I was the. I know that. In all honesty, Hicks got 2 balls that he should he should have that were right. You know, Rizzo seemed to find a hole because he always does against St. Louis, and DeYoung knocked that one down, and then you know Bryant hit one that didn't go 60 feet to still score the run on the out. You know what I'm saying? One of those situations where you're just like, well, that's just the things that happen against the Cubs.
And,
you know,
right now, so, as good as that Cubs team is, and I never like to say it, but it's true.
Sure,
you can't. I mean, you cannot give them an inch because they will take it and then some.
Sure. 100%. That's every walk. Like, the walks to them, a walk to a Cubs hitter, almost anybody, especially their top flight base runners, is almost an automatic third base.
Mm.
You know, it's really frustrating because they put pressure on. Where it's the Cardinals, it takes 2 hits to score almost anybody. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's weird. It's almost like a walk is worth 2 runs to them. You know, it's tough right now. So you almost have to be perfect to play with them.
Yeah. That being said, and again, some of this is very hard to us to know if it's because of who they're playing. It's because of the games that are kind of crammed in here, you know, so many and so much time, whatever the case may be. But it feels like the little bit of some of that I've seen, it feels like the Cardinals are running more than they were. you know,
sure.
had a chance earlier tonight, you know, had runners on first and second, and they, you know, took off on the pitch, which they didn't always do.
Sure. Well, and what I thought was funny during the afternoon game, McCarver pointed that out several times about how they didn't like to, on 3-2, they didn't like, the Matheny didn't like to run guys, and obviously Shilt does.
Yeah.
The broadcast team, I think, is really funny. Not to kind of backtrack on this now, but you can read, if anybody's listening, go back and read Danny Mac's tweets tonight. And then go back and listen to Shannon a little bit and listen to Rooney a little bit. And all I can say is I think the broadcast team approved of the move.
Yeah.
Of the move last Saturday night.
Yeah. I think that, and you're right. It's interesting. You kind of go back to what you said a minute ago. I pulled up Twitter for a second, and then Derek Gould saying,
"Yeah,
Mike Shilt walked through every single decision that he had, you know, tonight."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that part of it is the media is going to like him more because of that too.
Sure.
You know, they've spent time trying to get answers out of Matheny. I mean, you see what Gould will say about, you know, asking a question and not getting an answer, so that lets him try to fill in the gap, you know. Gould has to try to fill in the gap there, and, you know, it was a very adversarial relationship, and Shilt doesn't seem like, Shilt's like, hey, this is what I'm thinking, this is what I, you know, no particular reason for them to, you know, and that's only going to do, he's only going to get good press that way, which is only going to help him, you know, his standing, I think, around.
Sure.
Not that he's doing it because of that, but I think it's a side effect of that. But I think that, and I think that's probably somewhat the media squads on, you know, radio and TV probably have that same type of thing too. But, you know, we've heard Danny Mac complain about bad baseball quite a bit. I mean, in his way, I mean, he doesn't come out and say these guys are terrible, but, you know, there's a lot of times where, you know, you've got to do this, or you've got to be doing this, or, you know, whatever. And we've, you know, Shannon had at least a couple of rants, one last year, I think one earlier this year. You know, they don't like seeing this stuff, and they see it every day. I mean, they can't turn it off either. You know, they can't turn it off after the third inning. they've got to watch this stuff. And I think, you know, they see behind the scenes more than we do. They probably know that the culture needed to shake up, that there needed to be that change. And so it's going well so far. And, you know, I mean, what, they're 3-2 under Shilt? Is that the deal?
That'd be right.
You know, not saying that that's world beaters, but, you know, and we'll see how they do tomorrow. But it feels like I said, it feels like this team is playing looser and with a better attitude. And maybe that's us reading into some of the stuff, but it does feel that way. So, yeah, like you said, you get to, you know, is it to the point where, I know a lot of people tonight, DFA Holland, and I'm not, and I mean, one, now that Matheny's not there, a lot of that criticism, a lot of that, you know, trying to find a pin the tail on the problem type of thing, it's going to go somewhere, and it's not going to Mike Shilt. You know, some people are going to take after Mo because of things, but a lot of people are going to, you know, grab on to some of these unperforming players. And I'm not saying that I'm not saying they're wrong about Greg Holland. Let's put it that way. And I'm not saying that it might not happen. I could see the Cardinals saying, look, we're going to do this. We're going to get rid of him. We're going to do, you know, maybe they get rid of a Cecil too, although that seems kind of hard to believe when there's 2 years left on that contract. But, you know, they say, hey, we're cutting him, we're doing this, we're bringing up these three guys from Memphis, and we're just going to see if new arms help. I don't know that they'll do that, but I think after the change in managers, you can't rule just about anything out.
No, completely agree with that. There's going to be, just like we talked before the show, I think everybody's kind of thinking the same thing, or not necessarily the same thing. There's going to be a house cleaning of some sort, and I do think it's going to start now. And whether the firing of Mike Matheny, to me, made it seem like the direction's going to change, and what their idea was of moves by the deadline and stuff like that was determined then, not necessarily with these next 2 weeks. That may change it. I don't know, but I still think they're planning for 2019, whether they're still in it or not. With that being said, it would seem like it would be time to try some guys out. I think that this isn't an organization to eat money, so I think they're going to hold on to that as long as they can. But they're also one that they're not going to see the results like this. And just like you said, with the managerial change, with that firing, anything's probably on the table right now.
Yeah. It was very interesting to hear in the aftermath of everything that there was some talk that the front office really has been wanting to kind of have a reset, to be sellers more than buyers, to have a chance to clean up some of this roster. And you may be right. They may have already decided that's what they're going to do. And they're just kind of waiting, especially for this series, to kind of give them a little bit more clarity, or at least let everybody else have that clarity. And
think that, yeah, exactly.
Because if you walk out of Wrigley 8.5 out, you know, if they lose, like we were talking beforehand, if they lose tomorrow, they could slide into fourth place. If they lose tomorrow, they'll have probably 5 teams ahead of them for that second wild card. I mean, that's not, you know, not even counting the team that already has it. You're looking at, you know, 5 games or so out there, and none of that's insurmountable, but it's not where you want to bet. I mean, you know, the odds are probably what, around 15% now, I think. Let's see if I can, find the odds, but, so that, you know, that may be where they decide to go, and they're going to say, hey, we're done. You know, we're gonna do some movements, but you know, the flip side of that is, especially with Carlos Martinez now pretty much off the board with his being on the disabled list, who do you sell, and you know, what do you get for him?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, you look at your. You know, everybody points to Jericho just because he's got the, you know, everybody thinks that he's going to be more expensive, but still a lot of his contract's paid by San Diego. So that's still that, it's still a pretty fair deal. But just due to roster redundancy, you know, that could be a name. I think Jose Martinez is probably, would be at the tops of the list to see where that one would go. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. I feel like Ozuna is more available than we think, and I think that's just due to some rumblings that they aren't too happy with some stuff off the field with him. Now, I've just heard work ethic's an issue, and that's, you know, that's just word of mouth, but I think that may be a name. I don't know. You know, you kind of look at Wong, but I think he's played himself into probably a more secure role than he's had in a while. You know, I think you're going to look at your Norris. I think they're trying to probably trade Holland. Probably doing the same thing with Cecil. That could be a trade, eat money for draft picks type situation. Other than that, I mean, it's you know, I don't know. That's the thing about a sell. Your number one selling piece to me was Martinez being Carlos.
Yeah.
And I felt like you could get a pretty good return for that. And that's probably out the window. And quite possibly may have been stupid for me to even think that, really. You know, because when you think about it, you're just like, I thought Lynn Casper made a lot of sense tonight. He was, you trade one of those guys, you spend the rest of your years trying to get one of those back. So, you know, if he becomes what you think he's going to become.
But that's the kicker, I think, to some degree. And you're right. I mean, everybody wants young, cost-controlled pitching that's really good. The kicker is Carlos Martinez going to be that good? I mean, he is good. Don't get me wrong. He shows that he can be that good. But you know, you had told me earlier in the week, and then in rumors that you had heard, and then I saw it in a Derek Gould article where he had, you know, shown up so late on days that he was supposed to start that other people were getting prepared for that. I mean, that they were getting somebody else ready by the time he wandered in. There's been reports of him, you know, out enjoying the nightlife, if you will, on nights maybe that he should be, you know, getting ready for the game before. And again, young guys, they're going to go out, but that doesn't mean they have to be out till 4 o'clock in the morning or whatever the case may be, especially when there's a game the next day. And if you are, then you kind of run into that, you know, you're asking for trouble type of stuff. So I think it's very interesting that there's that, there's some issues there. And, you know, Bernie's talked a lot about Martinez may be impossible, and he's also talked a lot about the organization not liking to be embarrassed. And mm-hmm. you know, Carlos has been very good, and we don't, again, I don't want to say we should trade him, but you look at that and you said, look, you could get, you'd like to think, two or three really top-notch prospects for a guy that has that kind of contract in a market that has no real... I mean, they're talking about Nathan Eovaldi being, like, the best available guy, yeah. And that's nothing against Nathan Eovaldi, but I don't think he's, you know... I mean, assuming that DeGrom and Syndergaard stay put, which is another story, but, you know, Carlos Martinez is much better than that. So, you know, he immediately becomes the very top thing. But with him hurt, I mean, he's out for 10 days, so he doesn't come back till the trading deadline. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, let's put it this way. Walk is on the 10-day deal right now, too.
Also true.
You know, it is one of those. Right. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, earliest case is the 31st. It could be much longer than that. And that makes you somewhat wonder about this rotation, because you're going to have. You look at, you know, the beginning of the year, it was what, you know, Martinez and Walker and Wainwright and Mikolas. And how am I missing? I missed somebody. And who's still there? Anyway, but you've got three. You know, 3/5 of that is out now. You've got Mikolas. You got Nolan Flaherty. Wasn't really even on there, but Flaherty's been in the rotation a lot of the year. And then you've got Gant, and you've got Weaver. Oh, Weaver was the other guy, obviously. Weaver's been around all year long, but Weaver's got his own issues. And now you're going to have another 5th starter. I mean, who's the, you know, Mikolas is probably he's the grizzled veteran, but he's only gotten a handful of actual starts in the major leagues before this year. There's not a whole lot of veteran presence, if you will, in that rotation. You got to start to wonder how long that's going to hold up what we've been seeing.
Well, yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, my optimism for the rest of the season is, A, I think they're going to play better, and I think there's going to be some of the younger teams that fall off, either Philadelphia, Atlanta, or both. Or I just think some of the up-and-coming teams run out of steam eventually because the season gets so long. I will say one thing that does concern me about the Cardinals is exactly what you said, and that is, are we getting ready to see where this pitching staff falls apart because they don't have the longevity anymore? I'm not sure I can name, and I know I can, all right, off the top of my head, and I don't know if I'll look it up, the last time a Cardinal starter went 7.
Yeah, I bet it was Mikolas. You know, I can't. Yeah, I wouldn't know off the top of my head either. But you're right. It's probably been a while. It's just hard to believe.
That's one thing that worries me, and that could lead to bullpen problems in itself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. And now I'm curious. I'm going to try to see if I can't find it real quick. But, okay. But yeah, I know that the rotation is not going deep, and that that could be a problem. So,
yeah.
That's why you got to go get Chris Archer.
Well, and that's, you know, I mean, you kind of start to think maybe it is a time to go get a starter. I don't know. You know, again, you got to figure any move that the Cardinals make right now, anything that's of any significance. I mean, You could trade Jose Martinez to an American League team for a couple of prospects. That's not going to be it. But anything of significance is going to be a guy like Archer that's going to be here for a couple of years. You know, as much as we'd like to believe in a run at Nolan Arredondo, you know, the Rockies right now, according to Fangraphs, the Rockies have about the same rate of chances of making the playoffs as the Cardinals do. And they could, there's no necessarily rush to trade him on their end of things, unfortunately. I don't know. I mean, part of me feels like, yes, this is going to be a big shakeup trading deadline, and this is when they're going to start doing stuff. But, man, I felt that the way a couple of years. And
It's tough to convince yourself of that. I mean, I completely agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, I know that they've made the change here, and I know that there's some thought of – but, you know, then again – you know, Fangraphs right now has the Cardinals at 25% to make the playoffs. That was before today. I don't know if that matters. I don't know what that changed it up to be. Some have been lower than that. You know, is this the team that you go out and try to, you know, boost up? If it's not, and you can't get much for the parts that you're selling, you know, do you just wind up with the same team and then hope that Mike Shildt is enough backsides to, you know, get better production out of them and hope that everything mm-hmm. works out. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation. I mean, I keep thinking that they're going to use this to clean up some part of the roster. I mean, I think that I would be shocked if there's not bullpen moves made. But I think that we're and I may be speaking for everybody, that there's – I want some of the redundancy cleared up. It seems like they have every – it's all the same type player.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about that for so long, and that's one of those reasons that you do go ahead and figure that Jose Martinez is on his way out, plus the fact that he's started one time in Shildt's time here. I mean, and he didn't even play – like I told you, he didn't even play in the game where they scored 18 runs.
Yeah.
You know – people talk about him being the only bat that's been of any substance for the whole year, and there's some truth to that. But it is interesting that they're putting up some runs this week without him playing. Now, part of that's because Matt Carpenter is actually hotter than, you know, the southern weather right now, which is hard to do. But you know, part of that is they're getting production. Tommy Pham's starting to heat up. Colton Wong has done pretty well since the change. You know, Yadier Molina is still Yadier Molina. You know, Marcelo Ozuna, he's still not hitting for power, but, you know, he's got some guys on. I mean, with Carpenter, of course, Carpenter's usually taking care of his things himself, but, you know, if Carpenter's on second or Molina's on and, you know, you've seen a little bit out of Paul DeJong, is that lineup starting to do something? And it's doing it without Jose Martinez. So, you know, I feel like that's a move that has to be made, because I just don't see how Jose Martinez is happy being a pinch hitter for the rest of the year, but I don't see how they can play him much more than that.
Oh, sure. I mean, that play with DeJong up the middle where he bounced that throw, which he's having a real lack of confidence at shortstop mm-hmm. right now. I kind of feel bad for DeJong. But then he scooped it out, and I was like, I was a great snag. Mm-hmm. But it's one of you were surprised to see, you know, one of those situations. And I was like, you know, it's bad that he's that much of a liability in the field. Their infield with Carpenter just seems more fluid. I mean, I know that Jericho kicked the ball a couple days too, actually, and then DeJong hasn't looked real smooth, but they do look more fluid with Carpenter playing first, and obviously the stability is helping him out. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know the end game on this. I kind of thought he'd be traded by now if they were willing to do it. I kind of thought there may be a look today where they play him in left field and give Ozuna a breather. Glad they didn't. He played well today, but Ozuna still looks like his powers has been zapped. You know, I don't know if it's a health issue or if it is a mechanism issue, but it's, you know, he's still driving in runs, but man, I don't think he's hit a bomb in almost 30, it's over 30 games, I know that. And I don't think he's had an extra base hit in quite a few either. And that's worrisome for what they needed, why they brought him on board.
Oh yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, that's why he's hitting fourth. That's why he's been hitting fourth all year long, is to get that thump, to be able to double in a run that's sitting on second, you know, that kind of thing. Let's see. He has not had an extra base hit since he hit, I mean, not counting today, which I don't know if he had any today. He had a double against the Giants in that 11-2 game that kicked off the series. He's had one extra base hit in July. He has not had a home run since that week when he was player of the week, when he had three in a row. That last series he had, with the last one he had was against the Cubs in a game they lost 6-3 in the middle of the three-game set right after the Padres. You know, he had the three that, you know, that week where he was player of the week, and he had like, you know, he's got five of his home runs within like a week span. Let's see, there was, yeah, seven games, he hit five home runs. On the season, he has 10, you know. So, you're right. I mean, and he's hitting, what, 270? So it's not like he's not being productive at all. I mean, sure. He's driven in 51 runs before today. But, yeah, that's just not what you got him for. The problem is, nobody, you know, I know the Cardinals didn't give up a lot for him. It didn't, you know, four players, hopefully some of them, you know, all of them had, a couple of them had major league experience, but, you know, nobody really misses them out of our farm system. But you're not even going to get that out of it now. I mean, you'd be lucky to get a prospect or two and a low level one at that, because, you know, unless somebody thinks they can fix him, and even if they think they can fix him, they're not going to pay the price that a fixed Ozuna is going to be worth. So, you know, is it worth that, or is it worth hoping he gets hot in the second half?
That would probably make more sense. And I mean, that even may be a, let's hope that this is a down year. Next year he takes off. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's probably more the right route they go.
Well, and especially if, we haven't seen it yet, because it has only been 5 days. But hadn't been that, because the Badeska and Greer didn't get to the major leagues until Thursday. But, you know, if these guys can tinker with Ozuna and get him hitting, then yeah, then you probably do say, okay, let's get something out of him next year. You know, and if he can hit well, maybe trade him at the trading deadline, or you just ride him and then worry about it.
But, sure. Yeah. And if he hits, and, you know, that could be the situation where he's in house and they try to re-sign him. You know, one of those things. That may be one of those situations. So, I mean, that could go a bunch of different ways. I mean, it just, I personally am so selfish this time of year, because I just want to see something. That's why I'm glad about you never want to see someone lose their job, but the change in manager has been a reset on the season for fans too, I felt.
Oh, absolutely. The celebration was probably a little over the top on Twitter, because you're right. You don't want to see somebody. I mean, it's a person that lost their job. It's a person that is a good person from all intents and purposes. All that we can tell is a fairly decent person, and he just may not have been the right fit. And I'm not saying that the decision was wrong. It obviously wasn't, but it's one of those things I don't know that you throw a party about it. You're glad that maybe they moved on, but again, you do feel for them. But yeah, I think that everybody kind of, between the change and then the All-Star break, and you just had this chance to just really realize that this is a different team, and you've got the baggage off your shoulders, and you don't have all this extra stuff there. And you're, you know, again, in 7 years, if Mike Shield's still here, we may have a whole lot more or different issues that we have on our shoulders then. You know, we may be frustrated that, you know, he's still playing Yadier Molina every day, or, you know, whatever. You know, I don't know. I'm sure there's something. But right now, he's a blank slate, and we can put all the hopes and excitement that we want onto him, and he hasn't disproven it yet. So I think it helps. It helps that mindset. It helps to be able to enjoy the game somewhat. I mean, there's some that are still getting frustrated with everything that goes on, and that's fair. I mean, these players are very frustrating at times, but I just don't know that this team wins that game tonight against if Matheny's still managing. I don't know that they had that mindset. Not that Shields did anything strategically differently than they might have done, although probably did. I just don't think they had the fire in them to come back.
Sure, no, I completely agree. I said that earlier, to where you're right. I mean, look at the team that they quit last week on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, says a lot. I mean, you come back and fight tonight, and you know, I felt like you bullpen kind of gave it up on you in the first game, but you still fought to the end. You know, so I don't know. They look completely different. I mean, they look refreshed, and I think you see a lot more running down the baseline. Not to say that they weren't. I mean, I just think that the life had kind of been sucked out of them a little bit. And, you know, I think the decision was right.
Yeah, yeah. It's very interesting. They're looking at Twitter now, and they're talking about, you know, that bunt that Wong had late in the game, which give all credit you can to, as much as you want to, I guess, to Anthony Rizzo, because...
Oh, I know. I completely agree.
I mean, he was on the third base side of home plate by the time that ball dropped.
Yeah.
Now, if you could bunt behind him... He was doomed. I mean, you know, he probably walked a second in the first base, but you know, as much as he anticipated, it was right there. I mean, you know, the runner at third had no chance. But it's very interesting that they, you know, he said, "Look, we thought he'd be facing Wilson, and you know, when they went to Cishek has a weird delivery, so we stuck with it." It's very interesting to see that kind of delivery. I mean, you know, there's been times in the past where we had to kind of, you know, read the tea leaves. Who actually called the bunt? You know, was it Matheny? Was it the player? Whatever. You know, I think it's very interesting to say Shields like, hey, this is I did it. This is why. You know, it doesn't work out. It didn't work out. But, you know,
you
tip your cap to the other team on that one. You know, again, I think we're going to give Shields some leeway. I think even if he says some things that are very similar to what Matheny says, we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt a little bit more. But I do think that letting us into his mindset is going to be huge. Because I don't think it's I don't think we'll get a lot of, you know, we've just got to be better, or you know, they're a good team, tip your cap. You know, I mean, you got to respect the opponent, and I think that Shields going to, but he's also going to say, you know, this is what we tried to do and why we tried to do it, and it didn't work out, you know. So, I don't know. It's very, very interesting to see, and you're right, it's a breath of fresh air for everybody. I guess we really got to, I mean, I don't know that there's anything we could say about it, but dadgum, Matt Carpenter. I mean,
oh my goodness.
It's like McGuire in 98 times 10 this week. You know, homered Saturday, homered Sunday, took the All-Star break off, and then homered Thursday, three homers on Friday, a home run in the early game, then comes into this game and homers again. He's got two doubles. Brendan Schaefer put it out there on Twitter. His home run average is 400 right now. He's got eight homers in 20 at bats. So, you know, and, you know, what was it? It was like 12 straight extra base hits or something like that. It's really insane when you think about it to see, and it's just one, it's like, he can't do it again. He does it again. You know, I mean, yesterday, you know, I was watching some of this game, and I had to come in to the computer to do something, and I walked back in, and my daughter says, yeah, he had another home run. It's 15-1. And I was like, are you sure? Like, they were probably just rolling a replay. She didn't know. They said he did it. Sure enough. I was like, you're kidding me. I mean, it's just unbelievable to see this run.
Yeah, it's crazy. And that's, I was trying to think, other than some of the McGuire type runs, I don't know if I remember anybody being this high. Mm-mm. And especially with a slow start.
Oh, golly.
You know, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how much he's turned it around. I don't know. No words.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because you're right. I mean, it wasn't just a, you know, he didn't have a very good first couple weeks. I mean, he was hitting, 140 in mid-May? As I try to pull that up. You know, that's late. That's late in the year. That's a lot of at bats. Yeah. I mean, this is, what did we say? We said, you know, he's going to, you know, when he started hitting, it was like, okay, well, he's not going to have the numbers that he normally does because of this, you know, the slow start. I mean, he's going to, it's going to kind of mask what he has. And now he's on pace for like career best numbers. Let's see. He was hitting 140 on May 15th. Since that date, not counting today, which, you know, is, but through last night, he's hit 346 with an OPS of 1.174 and has 20 homers in, 55 starts, 248 at bats. And then again, he's got two more homers since that, then. He doesn't have any more outs. He's got a couple of walks, since then. So that OPS is probably well over 1200 now. And that's not, I mean, that's 2 month stretch. That's not just a couple of weeks. Yeah. That's amazing.
Mm.
You know,
that's crazy.
It is. It is. And I mean, there's no, I mean, it's going to stop eventually, and I'm sure he'll have a little bit of a slump somewhere along the way, you know, a few games here and there, but I guess we should take back a lot of that stuff we said about him at the beginning of the year.
Sure. Well, yeah, well, think about it. He was pinch hit in a game in May.
Mm-hmm.
In a big spot.
Yeah.
You know, if that tells you anything.
That's true. And he definitely didn't look good. But, you know, and again, the guys like Zach and all them said, hey, he's still hitting the ball well. It's going to come around. Now, I don't think any of them expected it to come around like this. You know, there was no indication that he was just going to become, you know, Babe Ruth all of a sudden. But it is, I mean, it's fascinating to see, you know, hitting 274 before tonight. You know, he's got now 25 home runs, which is three away from his career high. You know, I mean, he could have a new career high by the time we do another show. Heck, he could have a new career high before tomorrow evening. You know,
yeah.
You know, he's hitting at the highest average that he's had since 2013 when he hit 318 for the year. Yeah, I mean, it's the highest OPS he's ever had by quite a bit, and that's even before tonight. I mean, just imagine what this would have looked like had he not had the slow start.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's scary to think of.
Yeah. All right, well, you got the game tomorrow, then you've got three with Cincinnati, right?
Yep.
And then three more with the Cubs. You know, by the time we do the show again next time, we'll at least had one game with the Cubs. And what's your feeling? Is there going to be a trade before we do this the show next week?
My gut reaction to that question is going to be yes, but not exciting.
Okay.
I think it, you know what I mean? One of those, it'll be to be a movement of contract, or it'll be, you know, it moving out to open up bullpen spots.
I think you're right. I think that, you know, with just two, let's see, next week would be the 27th, 28th, depending on when we actually do the show. Yeah, I think there's probably a good chance that there's something done by that time, because I know that you probably want to wait till, you know, you run into the Cubs again, but especially if you lose tomorrow, I think it's, you're pretty clear about where you're standing. You should be clear anyway, no matter what happens, at least in regards to the division, and probably to the wild card as well. So I'm kind of like you. I just have problems believing that there's some dramatic trade that's going to happen. But it does feel like somebody, you know, I can't see Jose Martinez getting two at bats this week, you know? But I don't see him playing. So I just feel like there's something there. But we'll see. So yeah, we'll go on record. We're going to say that there's going to be a trade this week. Which means there probably won't be one. So, but
yeah,
that's the way we go. Alan, anything else that we need to discuss? You know, I know the manager change was really the biggest thing for this week, along with, you know, Matt Carpenter, but is there anything else you want to talk about?
I think we hit most of those topics tonight. It was refreshing to get on here and talk about a win. I was kind of down. I was hoping that, a split in one of these doubleheaders is about the best that you could hope for. And I'm not giving up on them just yet. I think they're going to stick around in the wild card hunt at least. You know, for a while. I kind of thought that getting out of Chicago with two wins would be as equal as a series push, just because there's five-game series are so rare, and anything can happen, and pretty much anything has happened in this one already. So tomorrow's will be good, and I think that you've got the guy on the mound that you want. I say that. I think that Flaherty stepped into that role of being the guy that can kind of be your opening, you know, your streak stopper, you know, right now. But you got to feel pretty good with Michaelis on the mound.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with Flaherty is that you do get some of those games where he's only going to make it through five innings. Even if he's pitching well, he may only get through five. I'm hopeful that Michaelis' last outing, he was a bit distracted by the fact that his wife was, obviously... Yeah, they had the twins this week, which was like 2 months early. You got to figure some of that. You know, she was probably felt like she was getting close. Maybe there was a little bit of distraction there, especially. And then he had the All-Star game that was coming up either way. Hopefully, you know, he's had a chance to go and he's had his twins and everybody's healthy and he's had a chance to get away. Hopefully that is a reset and he comes back and pitches well. Because he's going to start running into he's running into a longer inning.
Sure.
He's running into the book being out on him a little bit more.
Exactly.
And that was kind of the concern. I mean, we've seen that. The people are not – they know he's going to be around the strike zone, so they're just waiting for a strike, and they're not chasing as much. But so hopefully that's the case. I still think, I think you want Michaelis out there. The Cubs have Quintana going, and that's a difficult chore, but if the bats are going like they have been this week, I mean, you're right, you gotta like that. And if you go out of there and you win 3-2 in the five game set, that's something. I mean, and if nothing else, I think this year you'd really like to say you won the season series against the Cubs, and so far they still have that. I know that doesn't mean much when it comes to, talking about playoffs and things like that, but if you're not going to make the playoffs, you want to cling to what you can. And this team has played, for the most part, has played very well against a team that is easy. It should be the class of the division. And so, maybe they're not as far away as we sometimes think they are. But they just got to. They got to figure out a way to get from the starting pitcher to Bud Norris without giving up three runs in the process.
Mm-hmm. So, completely agree.
Yeah, and that's also easier said than done. So,
yeah.
Anyway, Alan and I will be back with you next week. Like I said, hopefully we're right. We're talking about a trade, but if nothing else, we'll have a little bit more from the Shield era and maybe have a little bit more to discuss in that regard. And hopefully we're talking about a lot of wins. Cincinnati's playing better, but hopefully you can go out there and win two of three there and stay in that race somehow along the way. So until then, I'm Daniel, and that's Alan. Good night.
Good night.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!